May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 146. 146. Where must a sinner fly who feels his guilty load and stands condemned to die out of the mouth of God? Can any door of hope be found, not any shore on nature's ground? Hymn 146.
together from the most holy word of God, from Paul's epistle to the Colossians. The epistle of Paul to the Colossians, and we'll read chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of my afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us that portion of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind and gracious God, once more thou hast spared our unworthy lives, lengthened out our time here upon the earth, at a gathering thy courts this night for prayer and praise and worship of thee. Thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. We're still upon praying ground. The day of grace has not ended, and the door of mercy is not closed. And oh, may we be found even this evening amongst those that truly hunger and thirst after thee and after thy righteousness, feeling in of themselves that nothing and have nothing. Nothing they have that they can recommend themselves, for it is all but sin and, yes, filthy rags in thy sight. But all to be found then as beggars poor. Beggars poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I, with all our wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, that is how we are by nature. We were conceived in sin, or whether we acknowledge it or not, thy word declares it. We are conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity, and who can know it? Oh, do reveal to us each then our state by nature, and reveal to us each what we have been also in thy sight. Ah, yes, those sins of every shape and form. Sins of thought, word and deed, sins of omission and commission. And oh, what a debt we have, a debt that we cannot pay. But oh, to be brought to look to Christ, one that gave his life a ransom, that paid the debt, paid the demands of the law, and satisfied it in every jot and tittle. Oh, it truly please the Father. Oh, it's a finished work. And how we rejoice that thy dying cry, thou hast left it on record in holy writ. It is finished. It is finished. Oh, we plead then. Do strip us of anything of self and lead us to Christ. Ah, may we be brought to each been able to say he is precious. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious. That he is the altogether lovely. But oh, may we know that desire even of the apostle of old, that I may know him. Ah, yes, know him in the full reality of thee, the beauty of thee. That which, yes, We know we will never get to the bottom of it, the depth of it, the breadth of it, of thy grace and the wonders of thy salvation. But oh, to be raised up to that good hope through grace, Christ formed in our hearts the hope of glory. Oh, in that personal way. Oh, as we realise we fast hasten on to a never-ending eternity. Another month now comes toward the close. Another year hastens towards the close. And oh, we find, do we not, we add year to year and decade to decade. And we wonder where the years have gone. And our lives go by as a tale that is told, as a passing shadow, so it fleeth away. Oh, teach us each then to number our days. We might apply our hearts unto wisdom. To realise even if we were spared to the age of Methuselah, they are but short compared to eternity. But all we know that thy word declares 80 years and 10. And if it be by reason of strength 80 years, it shall be labour and sorrow. But then that end must come. Oh, prepare us each for that day. Oh, prepare us each. How necessary it is. Is it not more necessary than our daily food in that way? Eternity a tremendous sound to a sinner doomed to die. But oh, to be found shut in with Christ. Ah, clothed upon with that robe of his righteousness and washed in his precious blood. Oh, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must the work perform. For it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience, clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Take us in hand, O Lord, from the youngest here to the oldest. Ah, yes, none is too young and none is too old, but all to be prepared for that day. Oh, when we shall have to appear before the judge of all the earth, and shall not the judge of all the earth do right? All that day, when we come before the searcher of the hearts, ah, that one that is that all-seeing God, all-knowing God. And all to be found then in that day, not as we are, but seen in Christ, all seen in the Beloved, seen in that one that pleased the Father, that it might truly be in that day 'tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. For that day must come when we shall all have to approach unto thee. And so remember each we plead, and have mercy upon us, and do begin that work where it is not begun. Those who are indifferent, oh, bring them to that knowledge of their great need. Ah, and those who are awaiting, longing, waiting, watching daily at thy gates, at the post of thy doors, oh, do yet grant them that deliverance. Do yet say unto them, I am thy salvation. Do yet speak that liberty. Give them that liberty. Command that liberty. Loose him, loose her, and let them go. All they might be brought into that gospel liberty. That liberty which is in Christ. Ah, that freedom from the law and all its demands. And that, yes, that which is Christ. Christ, ah, the hope of glory. And so we plead for each one. Once again, we plead for the young ones, the dear little ones, and those that are growing up. Oh, ever keep them, Lord. Guard them and guide them. Keep them in their younger years, tender of heart and mind and conscience. Oh, may they, even in their young years, be able to discern, as thou dost enable them to do so by the Spirit working within them. To discern between that which is right and that which is wrong. Ah, the Spirit of the Lord is the beginning of the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. Lord, once again we plead for parents and how they have need of thee. They have that need from one that is, yes, all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Lord, give them that help to counter all the evils of the day. To put forth that which is truth, yes, and to speak and in that way to guide from that which the world thrusts upon the young. Oh, we plead then to help them, and to remember those that are going forth into life younger in years, but now they're found in those places of further education, and going on into workplaces, and perhaps found in those workplaces a few years now. Oh, may it please thee, ever keep them. And no doubt they'll find many that would try to tempt and to lure, as the adversary stirs them up. And some, as we look back to our younger years or younger manhood years, and well, later teens and younger manhood years, and oh, how we have to say it was kept by the power of God. And so may it please thee, they may prove in their days, in their younger years, they are kept by thy almighty power. When at times they feel, how can they keep themselves? How can they keep themselves? They find they cannot. It is that slippery slope that leadeth unto destruction. The snares of Satan. But, O Lord, we are enabled to look up and look alone to thee, and prove there is help laid upon one that is mighty. Oh, that they may prove that, yes, in themselves they're weak and ready to give up and fall to that temptation, but all kept by the power of God. Oh, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. Oh, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord which keeps. And so we plead to remember them. And remember those in the midst of life with all its cares, whether it is a housewife and mother in the home, those in their workplaces, those in their businesses. It is a day of many cares and troubles and trials, and perhaps things that are hard to be understood, mountain after mountain, difficulty after difficulty. But oh, may they prove, those mountains can flow down at thy presence. Thou canst make those dark places light, and those impossible things possible. Nothing is too hard for thee. And so to enable them to rest upon thy government, upon thy care, to cast their care upon thee, and prove that thou art able to do for thy people more than they can ask or even think. And once again, remember those in the even time of life. They fill them up, all cottage shake. We think of our friend that once was found here, but now through that infirmity and illness, Lord, thou knowest his need. Go to him where he is, and favour him with thy presence. Oh, speak the word unto him, O Lord. May he prove that thou art those everlasting arms underneath him, the everlasting arms of the God of Jeshurun, that one that writeth upon the heaven in thy help and in their help, and is excellency upon the skies. Oh, that one that has promised, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so we plead for him. Be a comforter to him. Remember the family. Lord, thou knowest all their concerns in this. Comfort them, we plead. Yes, comfort them. And may they prove that thou art the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. And do remember those in their, they find a sickness and trouble, those infirmities of the flesh come upon them, whether it is seasonal or those things as we had to prove ourselves. The Lord causes them to come. Nothing takes place by chance, but all sanctified, all we plead. Sanctified all, sweeten any pain. May we prove that even in these things, and we trust we have proved in our measure, there amongst us all things that work together for good, to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Yes, all things, those all things that work together for our soul's good, quite contrary to what our natural thought is in it is. Quite contrary. But when we're brought to thy feet, When we are found sitting at thy feet, hearing thy words, then we prove, is it not? All must come, as a hymn writer put it, all must come and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. So we plead, friend, each and every one. And do remember the church and people here. Oh, we plead that it might be yet, even those brought in that perhaps have never set foot in the house of God before. Those that thou hast loved from all eternity. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and thou hast a purpose of grace towards them. Hasten that time when thou wilt bring them in, like those Greeks of old, with us, sirs, we would see Jesus. Bring back the prodigals. Lord, there are many that are turned aside from thy courts. Ah, yes, they've turned aside, gone into bypath meadows, gone as far away from thee as far as sheep can run. But thine arm is not short, and it cannot save, even unto the uttermost. Oh, yet bring them back, Lord, we plead, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so we plead for here, and we plead for the little hills of Zion, that might be yet a building up according to thy most holy faith. Ah, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. Keep us from the spirit of the world which creeps in. Oh, we see in places it is manifest, the spirit of the world, the ways of the world, the fashions of the world, the maxims of the world. It all begins to creep in. And is it not that little leaven that will begin to leaven the whole lump? But all may we be found amongst those that ask after the old paths. And yes, shall be found amongst those despised of the world. The world will despise those that are thine. Ah, for there must be a change, and that which is, will be seen, the world will notice it. And they will be despised of the world. But oh, what a mercy, loved of thee, and under thy watchful care, and under thy perfect government, and under that one that loveth at all times, that friend that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. Oh, may it please thee then. Do yet work mightily, but oh, have mercy upon us, and strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. Lord, remember also this guilty land. We're exhorted to pray for those that have the authority over us. Oh, we plead. Ah, show our leaders what they ought to do. We find, do we not, a spirit of the world, and that spirit will not have thee to reign over us. Oh, we see, do we not, various isms and false gods are rising up, and we wonder where the scene will end. Oh, we see, do we not, that gives us that very fear that we there is that whereby we're taken captive within our own shores by those that serve other gods or no God at all. Lord, we plead then, do yet turn again our captivity, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Oh, may we be brought to true repentance and godly sorrow. And it brings us to this, does it not? Search me and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in my heart. It starts, does it not, with us each. It starts with the speaker. Oh, how solemn it is if we're rolling a sweet morsel under our tongue some sin. But oh, God forbid that we should sin that grace may abound. But oh, to be found walking in that narrow way which leads unto life, that narrow way which is in the fear of the Lord, the tender fear of the Lord, that narrow way. Yes, if Christ has been made precious to us, how solemn if we should bring shame and reproach upon thy name. Oh, shame and reproach upon thy name, upon thy cause, upon thy people. Oh, how we need thee to keep us and to guard us. And comes to that petition, does it not? Hold thou me up. and I shall be safe. So we plead, hold us each up and hold us on and keep us close to thee. And in that hour of temptation, may we be brought by the Spirit to look upon one whom we have pierced and not crucify the Lord of life and glory afresh. Oh, to be then kept tender of heart and mind and conscience, sin being ever unto us exceedingly sinful, not something which can be excused, passed over or trifled with, but as it costs, and see when we see what it costs thee, the Lord of life and glory, shall it not be so? Oh, what a hardened wretch we would be if we could view the one suffering, the suffering Saviour, and sin lightly. Oh Lord, do then keep us close to thee, keep us every step of the way, and may that in our lives honour thee, not bring shame or reproach upon thy name, that name which is unto us precious indeed. He is precious. And so we now plead for thy help. Lord, we look to thee. For to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And as thou hast so favoured us with blessings of time, and we've each been brought hitherto and thus far, we've lacked nothing. Now, O Lord, we plead that thou wouldst break the bread of life unto us. Ah, in mercy, may we taste, handle and feel of those living streams. Yes, those streams of mercy, and taste of the Lamb of God once slain. Lord, do then help us now. Bless us each together, and send none empty away. Pardon and forgive then our many sins, our failings and shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious sin atoning blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 399. 399. Amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Hymn 399.
seeking once again the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn back to the portion we tried to speak from this morning, out of the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the 6th chapter. I'll read the whole of verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. As I said this morning, that last part of that verse 10 seemed to rest upon my spirit. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Perhaps one or another could come in with a hymn we had just now. And the refrain, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Perhaps in measure the riches of Christ and of his salvation has been made known unto you, opened up to your understanding by the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is by the Spirit we're taught these things. They're not naturally learned, but by the Spirit's teaching and leading, there is that being made known unto you, that which is of Christ and his riches, the riches of his grace, his salvation, his mercy, that which the apostle spake of, did he not, in that chapter we read, the fullness which is in Christ. That fullness, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now, what a mercy if that part of that verse and that yet now encompasses you. Once an alien, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, saw no beauty in Christ that you should desire him. Yet now, by the work of the Spirit, is it not through that new birth? Marvel not when I say unto thee, ye must be born again. That which is of the new birth, groanings, cryings for mercy. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh. Take notice of that, poor sinner, through death, his flesh, through death. He gave his life a ransom. Yea, the Lamb of God once slain, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you, all think upon this poor sinner, one that is unholy, full of blame, condemned under the law, to present you that one, yes, that knows and feels it, that condemnation of the law. They long for this to be made known unto them, that which is through Christ, that he wrought in himself, in the body of his flesh, through death, to have this made known to you in the reality of it, to present you holy, and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Oh, is that your longing, poor sinner? Even as the hymn writer put it, yes, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Many cares, yes, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, but oh, above all those cries and groans, yes, troubles and trials of life, but you long for Christ to be revealed to you, your hope of glory. Your hope of glory, that chapter, and I believe the apostle, as I said this morning, he spake from that which he had experienced, which he had been taught, and he could now preach it as a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given to him to fulfill the word of God, as he spake even this mystery, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest. We live in gospel days. Those saints of old, it was revealed to them, even to Abraham. And he believed it, and is accounted unto him for righteousness. That righteousness through Christ, that which one that was yet to come, it was shown to him, even by that which the Lord provided for him, that ram caught in the thicket, that should be slain in the room place instead even of his son Isaac, when under that command of God he went to offer him up. God shall provide himself a lamb. It is manifest. Christ has come. Christ has come. And all we read, do we not? In the eighth chapter, in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, we read this. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Ah, yes. For your sakes he became poor. I know often turn to that hymn 95, but the language of it has ever been precious to me. But I ought to be brought into the reality of it. The sweetness of it. The riches of it. Unto one that's a beggar poor at mercy's door. But all that hymn of Anne Steele's, and did the holy and the just, I know I've quoted it before, forgive me, but it comes again. And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. Oh, the question there. But the hymn goes on. Yes, the Redeemer left his throne. You think of that poor sinner, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God. Yes, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Three yet one yet three. But in the fullness of time, the eternal Son, God the Son, truly did condescend, and what a condescension it was. He who was rich, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Yes, for your sakes he became poor. Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high. Surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed and die. Gave his life a ransom. No man took it from him. He freely gave it. Those loved by the Father, and in the counsels of eternity, there is that plan of salvation drawn up, was it not, between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those that the Father loved with an everlasting love, he likewise gave to the Son. Likewise the Son loved them with an everlasting love. But the Father gave them to the Son. And the Son declared in his word, has he not, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. No uncertainty there. Doesn't matter what man may say. Do this one or that one will be lost if we don't do this and we don't do that. It can never be. It's not left to man to save himself. Yes, it doesn't mean we should be prayerless and careless or indifferent. But all that the Father give me shall come to me. And it be by this, the operation of the Holy Spirit, working mighty within them. Working mighty within them, that which they cannot do of themselves, and no man can do it for them. And it will change the heart and renew the will and turn the feet to Zion's hill, but they'll be brought, yes, as sinners. And they'll be brought in time to view one that did stand in their room, place, and stead, that did give his life a ransom. Give his life a ransom for sinners. Do you come then with that desire? Oh, reveal thyself to me. Show me thy beauties. Oh, the wonders of thy salvation. Oh, I've heard of them preached. And oh, what a mercy when it suits the soul. There's that hungering and thirsting after them. The living soul goes out after them. Your old nature will never want them. But the living soul goes out after them. And there's that desire. They might be made known unto that one. Ah, I turned to a psalm a little earlier. But all that's a psalm. Psalm 91. I believe it's 91. But all a petition. Well, there's a, that there which we read. Yes, at the end of Psalm 91. And what a mercy. Those that desire these riches that fill their poverty. Fill their debt that they owe. Long for Christ to be revealed to them as that one that's paid the price in their room, place, and stead. And truly did give his life a ransom for them in their room, place, and stead. Well, we read this in that Psalm 91. He shall call upon me. There's that wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit. Goes back one more verse. Yes, is it not because of this? I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness have I drawn thee. Ah, you wait on, poor sinner, that time will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. But the hymn goes on, does he not? Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour. That appointed hour will come when those riches, that riches which is of his fullness, that resides in Christ, shall be made known unto them. The fullness for the worst of sinners, that fullness of his grace to the chief of sinners. He shall call upon me because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. They're brought to know the name of the Lord and call upon him. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. That's the word of God. Yes. He shall call upon me. And I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. And what greater trouble is there than soul trouble? And that one in soul trouble will long for these riches. The riches of his mercy, of his grace, of his salvation. That debtor will long to see that one that settled the account in their room, place, and stead. By the giving of his life. giving of it freely. As we said this morning, yes, and will that not do a poor sinner good when he sees by faith a suffering Saviour? Sees him in that Garden of Gethsemane. I know I entered into it a little bit this morning, but how far I don't know not. But all that bitter cup of the wrath of God, he drank it quite up. Yet it calls him to cry thus, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. All that the Father give me shall come to me. And not only shall they come to him, that salvation will be made known unto them. Soul trouble. I'll be with him in trouble. And what does the psalm also speak? How does the psalmist, yes, the word of God, how does it go on? Oh, deliver him. And honour him. Oh, that one that has broken the law, dishonoured it again and again. He'll be brought to see one that has honoured it in his room, place and stead. Came not to do away with the law, but make it honourable. Time to time that's done my soul good to think upon it. Where we've dishonoured the law, broken it. He came not to do away with it, but to make it honourable. Yes, it pleased the Father. As we said this morning, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I will deliver him and honour him. And with long life, does it not speak of eternal life? With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And show him my salvation. Oh, let him then, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. When various lusts imperious rise, and my unguarded soul surprise, I'm captive led, nor can get free, till Christ reveals himself to me. And you'll find, yes, the old adversary comes against you like the storm against the wall. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, we knew nothing of the tempter's power, for we were servants of Satan. But under grace and made alive, that one that was once dead to these things, he'll find there is that one that rises up. The old man of sin within and Satan without, they're both one and the same, in union together. You'll find warfare and conflict. But blessed be God, even as the Apostle Paul. And how I've thought upon this again and again, and have taken note of it before. But that path of a child of God from the beginning of it, that one that will reveal himself to the poor sinner. He'll also be that one that will be under them even to the end of their days. As that one, the shepherd, that goes before his sheep. They'll be brought to see the shepherd that gave his life a ransom. They'll be brought to see that one that in whom all that fullness dwells. It pleased the Father. That one that has delivered the poor sinner from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He'll not leave that poor sinner then to make the best he can of his pathway, to go on for all those warfares and conflicts and manage it all. No, he'll prove this Again and again, yes, that blessed truth, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But he proved this, there is a fullness. Oh, the mercy of it, the richness of it. These are riches that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. These are those riches that the world will never know of unless called by grace, that we never knew of when we were likewise still dead in trespasses and sins. But these have been known unto the worm Jacobs. Yes, the fearful worm Jacobs, they're made known unto them. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. We closed, did we not, or we had at some point this morning that hymn, 925. Yes, another precious hymn indeed, is it not? But oh, the mercy indeed, those riches, the abundant riches that came by Christ, that are made known unto those, as we said just now, those poor trembling worm Jacobs, those fearful worms of the earth. They shall prove that fullness, yea, that which came by his cross, that peace. That peace. You'll find much trouble, trials and tribulations. The word of God declares this. Through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. It's appointed, is it not? And the world may say, if one of the world and one perhaps have no knowledge of Christ and no desire toward Christ, he might say, well, I don't want such a thing as that religion of yours. But oh, have not some of us proved this in the midst of troubles and trials, afflictions and difficulties? Times ready to sink, wondering whether we shall rise again. Enemies hedging us about and hemming us in. Dark places, things hard to be understood. What a fullness there is in Christ, but it comes by his cross, through his cross. When the sinner, in the midst of it all, he proves this, that peace by his cross. When he sees that one now risen indeed, and sitting on the right hand of the Father, ever intercede for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered, but all that one that waits to be gracious, and the voice of their cry will answer them. Have you proved it in your path in measure, in those troubles and trials, tribulations and difficulties, those things which, yes, you wonder where the scene will end? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you prove that peace by his cross. Ah, that one that has conquered death, hell and the grave, gained the victory. Ah, yes, he walked that lowly path. Yes, he walked that lowly path. And when I think upon that, what a mercy. Took not on him the nature of an angel, but the seed of Abraham, for your sakes, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He knew what it was to say this, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Oh, when that poor sinner, in the midst of his troubles and his trials, when he sees Christ in that lowly path, where he sees Christ in his temptations, 40 days and 40 nights, when he sees Christ, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, oh, have one that walked that lowly path. Yes, walk that lowly path. He is able to succour and strengthen you and I. And you are brought to see and view Christ. Ah, yes, it is this peace by his cross as Jesus made. The church is everlasting head. O'er hell and sin is victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. When o'er thy head the billows roll, and sometimes it is it not? Sometimes you find it is so. Over my head, your head, those troubles that are ready to overwhelm, you prove those riches which are in Christ. He is able to succour them and to strengthen them, come right where they are. Speak the word only. Comes, with those blessed words of comfort, and those fear thou not, for I'm with thee. All these riches. So he said we never knew them when we were dead in trespasses and sins. But we trust we prove them under grace and that path which has been appointed. The apostle proved it. Those saints of old proved it. It's in those tried paths. Those troublesome paths. Yes, you think of David. You think of dear old Jacob and Joseph. You think of the Apostle Paul. When o'er thy head the billows roll and shades of sin obscure thy soul, when thou canst no deliverance see, yet still this man thy peace shall be. All those riches, they don't diminish. The saints of old proved it. And I believe those of the Lord's people will prove it until the end of time, until the Lord shall once again return to this earth. There shall be a proving of it. In tribulation's thorny maze, or on the mount of sovereign grace, or in the fire or through the sea, this glorious man thy peace shall be. Oh, that peace by his cross. Gave his life a ransom, thou precious in his eyes. Oh, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Often turn to that precious truth in Isaiah chapter 49. Yes, Zion said. Is it Isaiah 49? But Zion said. Yes, at times those inhabitants of Zion come to that, they say, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. But all the preciousness of it, these riches, these wonders which came by Christ, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. All these riches of the preciousness of Christ. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So maybe tribulation's thorny path, on the mount of sovereign grace, or in the fire, or through the sea. Yet still this man, in the far or through the sea, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. Yes, the apostle. The apostle, did he not? In that chapter that we've read in Colossians, if I can find it again. No, I can't find the verse again. But all that, those riches which are, yea and amen in Christ Jesus, those riches are through the abundance of his grace, all those riches which moth and rust will not corrupt, they're not like the riches of this world. Not like those riches that we favour with, many riches which our godly forefathers never had. They'll all perish with the using. But those which are by Christ and through his salvation, they're eternal. Yes, there's that path to walk out here below. That appointed for you and I. You prove there is help laid upon one that is mighty. But my mind also went to that hymn 184. And so as the time is near, it comes towards the end, I feel there's a few more things to speak of yet. But that hymn, a fullness resides in Jesus our head, that ever abides the answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. A fullness. All these riches then. As we said, they're yea and amen in Christ Jesus. These riches. Whate'er be our wants, we need not to fear. Our numerous complaints, His mercy will hear. His fullness shall yield us abundant supplies. His power shall shield us when dangers arise. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, all that fullness. I believe that is what the Apostle Paul preached. That which, as he spake, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even this mystery. It's a mystery unto the world. It's made known unto those of the Lord's people. That fullness. That fullness where you read the rest of that hymn in a similar measure. It's like the hymn 925. But a fullness, and troubles and trials and distresses, a fullness. My mind also went to, if I can find it in Isaiah chapter 40, I think it's 43, another portion. But oh, if I can find, I believe it was in 43, no, not in 43. But it came to my mind, yes, here it in 40. There's His fullness. Ah, what a mercy. The word of God declares this. Hast thou not known? These are the riches. We once despised this one, but what a mercy when we're brought to prove Him. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of His understanding? Oh, when you prove this, those worm Jacobs, weak, weary worm Jacobs, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But all this encouragement, well, the Lord knows whether you feel to be that one that has nothing, and yet at times oppressed and distressed, troubled and tried, wondering where the scene will end. Is there not encouragement here for such a one? Ah, that is rich. Rich to those, and will prove Himself be a fullness to them, and an all to them. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ah, these riches then. Sometimes we trust we prove those times and seasons when the Lord has spoken. These are those riches. Yes, we wouldn't exchange them for that golden wedge of Ophir. We wouldn't exchange them for those things which are of the world. Ah, yes, the world sees much in those things which they possess here below. But ah, the mercy is unto the Lord's people, they see one. that is from everlasting to everlasting. And he will be unto his people their God from everlasting to everlasting. And he has that which he will perform for them, which will bring them to everlasting bliss at last. Through all those trials and tribulations, he has conquered death, hell and the grave, gained the victory. So perhaps in this world and in the pathway here below, we may feel at times we have nothing. We look upon the world, as we said this morning, we look upon the world and those things which the world sets much store by, and become envious of the wicked, of the foolish. But oh, what a mercy when from time to time, when we enter into his sanctuary, and we understand their end, and that which is that which is yea and amen in Christ Jesus unto the Lord's people, that prospect. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come again, I shall receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. All these riches, having nothing, yet possessing all things. May the Lord be pleased to grant these things unto one and another, their soul's desire, and show him show each one those riches. Even as I thought, as I we're about to leave, but all these riches and the precious blood of Christ, and all I close just by reading that last hymn in the hymn book. What riches are there? To the worst of sinners. Those that have nothing to pay. When they see one that has paid all. The debt of their sins, their iniquities. That truly did give his life a ransom. Having nothing, yet possessing all things. And it was made known unto me, it came to my mind those years ago. And the Lord brought me into the sweet liberty of the gospel. All the riches I saw there, undeserving riches, what sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessings brings, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. What mighty sum paid all my debt when I a bondman stood, and has my soul at freedom set? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. What stream is that which sweeps away my sins just like a flood? Nor lets one guilty blemish stay. 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. What voice is that which speaks for me in heaven's high court for good, and from the curse has set me free? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. What theme, my soul, shall best employ thy heart before thy God, and make all heaven to ring with joy? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. Oh, when these things are made known unto a poor sinner, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Oh, may one or another yet, going back to that Psalm 91, if you long for these things, plead for them. Plead for them in the truth of them, in the reality of them. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Graham Cottingham next Lord's Day, and hopes to administer the Lord's Supper and also to address the Sunday School. Let us close with the second part of hymn 803. 803, the second part. And did the darling Son of God for sinners deign to bleed, the purchase of that precious blood must needs be rich indeed. 803, the second part.
dear Lord, do be pleased to bless those truths one delivered in thy name. Oh, that they might know each one a measure of that fullness that resides in Jesus our head, that ever abides to answer our need, all the needs of a sinner. Oh, that a precious Christ might be revealed, that Christ might be unto them the one thing needful, why without him perish must. But all that desire after thee and after thy righteousness, a desire after those riches, those riches of thy salvation, all that peace by his cross as Jesus made, the church is everlasting head o'er hell and sin as victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. Oh, may we plead for them. Leave us not then to rest upon forms and dead rounds of empty service. Oh, may it please him, stir us up. We might have that desire, even as the apostle, to know these things in the truth of them, the blessed truth of them, the wondrousness of them, the beauty of them, yea, the fullness of them. Oh, to the joy and rejoicing of the soul, Christ formed in the heart, the hope of glory. Pardon and forgive all thou hast heard and seen amiss, and do be pleased now to take us to our homes, our respective destinations, in peace and safety. Watch over each according to their path and manage all for them by the way unto the end. Oh, be as a shepherd unto them, going before the sheep. Oh, make ways where there seems to be no way, darkness where it is, a light where it is darkness, and those mountains that might they might yet flow down at thy presence. Oh, may they prove there is help laid upon one that is mighty. And so we'll commend and commit each unto thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.